it's going to be a little retro worship today. Just before I get to say that, I just want to wish every dad here Happy Father's Day.
And to you too.
Thank you. And great grandfather day. But you know, we may not have had a good example as a father, and I know, without getting into detail, I didn't even know what a father other than a mallet for a fist. But then when I got saved, God showed me and gave me a family.
Amen.
And I didn't know what a father was like until I understood God's word and the example of his unconditional love and faithfulness. Now, even though we read a lot about Jesus, but Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when I began to look at Jesus more and more, I see the manifestation of God's grace in the Father. And his mercy is new every morning. And how he can constantly forgive rebellious Israel. And that just like us, we have all moments of rebelliousness. But God the Father is faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so, and a couple of songs here that are special to me because it showed me my Father. In heaven. Father, as we come today, we thank you that you love us. And Father, you change us and transform us. And they give us a new heart. And Father, we have one purpose today, is that we would glorify you, both in song and in your word. So anoint this time, Lord. Bless our family that is away, wherever they may be. Father, that your protection will be upon them. Your grace and mercy will be fresh and new each day. And so, Lord, we miss them. But we thank you that your spirit is here. And we ask that you would come upon each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This first song, we hope you make a personal prayer to your Father in heaven. Just really living and praying these things.
knows.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I fall.
On the top. You know, that's security. When you think of God's hand, how big is God's hand? If he could hold the whole known universe right in the palm of his hand. And one of the great things is we're just a little speck of a speck in the universe. And he knew, May 3rd, 1986, that I would be his child. And that his arm is not short, or his hand not to save us. And so wherever you may be, is that he knows your name. He knows every thought, every pain, every concern that you have. He is your father. And like a dad, like Papa, you just go and say, Dad, I need help. You're an ever-present help in times of trouble, the psalmist says. I wanted a blessing of coming to the body of Christ and playing the guitar. One of the first songs that I learned about a family was this old song. So you may not have heard it, but if you're around in the Jesus music, you may have. And so I'll say it enough so you'll be able to come and sing along.
It's Father's Day. Is very special to me when it comes to God. I remember as a small child, you know, my father was far from perfect, and I was
longing for a loving, perfect Father. I just wanted to know I was loved. And I remember the first time I heard the gospel message and someone tell me that I had a perfect Father in heaven that loved me. And that changed my world forever. I went running to another room to, you know, confess my sins and to just give my life over to God. He's always been my father, my daddy, you know, my papa.
Singing to
know, and I think of that word, Abba, Father. It's used a few times in the New Testament, and talks about, it's Arabic, and I just like to read a verse, because it deals with one in specific, it's about adoption. And I think we miss the whole concept of what adoption is. In Romans 8:15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, this word adoption into the body of Christ, into His Son. In the Roman culture, you can disown your natural son or daughter. But in the Roman culture, when you adopt someone, no matter how bad, you cannot disinherit him, because you chose him specifically for life. It was a willing choice. And so no matter how rebellious we may be, he can never disown it. That's why our salvation is so secure. That if we have the Spirit of God living in us, and He's adopted us, the security we have in Jesus. So wherever you are today, if you're His son, He will never abandon you. He will always be there. He may spank us once in a while, like dads do with moms, but it's because He loves you, and He wants the best for you. And so I just like to just say, think about, we are His sons and daughters. He is our father, our papa. He's our papa. Father, as we meditate on that thought, as we meditate on, you're a family. And Father, I didn't have much of a family, but when I became part of this body, a body of Christ, I had 30, 60, 100 people. And I can look out of all the fellowships, and every place I go, I see a brother or sister. That's my brother. That's my sister. He's in my family. Because his father is Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask that you bless the service. We ask that you anoint your servant to be able to leave this place as better dads, as better moms, as better children. And so anoint your message, anoint your word. Let it go forth in power. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Tuesday, men. Pat, tell us what's going on.
Yes, the men's Bible study is going to be expanded for a few weeks to include teenage boys beginning 12 to 13 years old on up, and we're going to be studying basically how to for them to take their faith and take it as their own and adopt it as their own and really develop in that. And so Tuesday night is going to be the first night of that. So if you have children that are maybe aren't here or are here, or grandchildren, come on out Tuesday, normal schedule.
And what's going to be our topic Tuesday night?
So Tuesday night we're talking about our identity in Christ. And so we'll be taking various scriptures that focus on that.
Okay. Yeah, so bring your own kids, bring neighborhood kids, bring grandkids. And Mark, what's on the menu?
We have hamburgers and brats.
Ah, guy food.
Guy food.
Okay, let's see. The ladies, you started, I don't see Susie here today.
Armor of God.
You started Armor of God last week, and you're having the young ladies join you guys as well, right?
That's right. We probably had the biggest crowd we've ever had growing up.
Good, fantastic, Okay, let's see, Thursday morning, where'd Tom go?
I'm right here.
There's Tom. Tom, the piano is gradually coming. I think the swing set play gym stuff is due in somewhere in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
So whoever can come out on this Thursday, it would be real helpful after a little devotional. We're going to literally pound the pavement.
Pound the pavement, I like that.
Okay. Pavers.
We're getting
paid. We're getting close. Chris has did a great job in that corner, so we've all got to do is connect the ends.
Cool.
And do that last layer.
Cool, okay. And then let's see now. On Friday, this Friday is... Yeah, go ahead. So when do you guys speak up?
We have four on Friday, and it'll
okay.
be at Diane's house.
Okay. Cool. And, okay, let's see. Michael. Michael. Anybody who has not gotten the new church directory, the update, come go grab Michael afterwards, and that's you can get the new one so you have all the current information. And I think that's all. Got anything new on the homeless that we need to talk about? Or anything
like,
you need?
Looks like we're probably going to be doing it here. So we'll progress towards that here shortly. We'd like to probably have a Sunday afternoon in July for our first one.
Okay.
If anybody would like if you're out at the grocery store, want to pick up like a toothbrush or toothpaste, just something like that and bring it in.
Yeah, there's a whole list of things that homeless folks
right.
need that we maybe don't think about.
Right, everyday things that we use that they need.
Well, might be a good idea is to put together a list of different things that people could.
I will, yeah. I'll make up a list of that and also a list of anybody can sign up if want to make a dish to bring out,
mm-hmm.
you know, so. But I'll work on that and hopefully in the next Sunday or two I'll have a list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, with that, I have a barrel. You know, we'll probably put back here. It's a blue barrel, and whatever you want to bring, just put it right in there. Cash is good, too.
If you want to designate something specifically for that ministry, just put it on your check or on the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, you can specify it that way.
Yeah, homeless ministry. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Kelly. Did you have?
Well, I just want to say, if everybody just keep it prayed up that the Lord will bring out everyone he has to come out.
Okay.
The homeless, to be able to get here and everything. Thank you. Poor
George. Everybody's. I don't know how Nathan does that.
Yeah. So to remember to keep on the list when Anthony was given us about belts, are because a lot of times they get pants and maybe the pants are too big, but belts are really needed for them to.
Okay.
Okay.
I know in the past things like socks you don't think of.
Yeah, we don't think of that. We think of toothbrush and toothpaste and those shampoos and things like that. But
soap.
Anyway, you put together a list that would help.
Baby wipes are another big thing. Mm-hmm. I know, like in the military, even if it's a quick shower,
Okay, let's see. Other announcement, as you can tell, Pastor Darren and Lisa aren't here. They are, I believe, in Tennessee. They're up somewhere vacationing. They finally managed to get out of town, I believe it was Wednesday, when they managed to get out after some car trouble. Josh and Amy, I think they're driving all the way out to Wyoming. In that, so they're somewhere between the Irons and Wyoming. Weavers are heading to a debate camp for their daughter in Oklahoma. Gloria should be coming back to nighttime.
Possibly, yep.
Possibly. Tom won't say, but I think hopefully she'll be back tonight.
When she left, the plane was delayed because a bird hit it.
Because you're real confident. Okay. Keep all our traveling folks in prayer. Yeah. Okay, let's open our prayer before we get into the message. Father God, Father, we thank you that you're here with us, Lord. as was mentioned in the worship time, sometimes our father experience with earthly fathers has been a little bit challenging, because not all of our parents were being led by you, Lord. It's comforting to know that we have a Heavenly Father who truly does have our best interest at heart at all times, that even when you discipline us, it's so that we might draw closer to you and have a more fulfilling life, Lord. So now, Lord, I ask that you'd use the study that that we do this morning, use your words to separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, Lord God, that everything that is said here, Lord, would be of you, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, just you, Lord. So that as we leave, that we're closer as your children than when we came in. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen. When I found out that Darren was going to be gone today, I thought, wow, what an opportunity. See, when Mary Kay and I became believers 30 years ago, we were our first church home was a Coral Ridge Presbyterian, which was a huge church, 2,600-seat auditorium. The pastor had a TV ministry that was in hundreds of places, so when Dr. Kennedy said something, he paid attention to it. And every year, right, it was fun, Mother's Day, right, we would get a message on how we needed to honor our mothers and all the fantastic things our mothers did for us. And Father's Day, Dr. Kennedy had a habit of telling dads what they were doing wrong and what they needed to do. Right? And it always struck me that wasn't terribly fair. Right? So, so I thought to myself, okay, well, you know, I get a chance to set the record straight here. You know, I have 2,600 people, but you know, so what? And fortunately for everybody here, the Lord had something else in mind. But we are going to talk about parenting. So let's start by turning to Proverbs 22:6. And it's a verse that we all know. Well, who wants to be our volunteer reader? Sure, go for it. Proverbs 22:6.
Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
That verse, if you unpack it, train in Hebrew, it has a couple of meanings. One is to put something into the mouth. And that, in other words, feed it. Feed it to our children. We should feed our children. Also, it means to dedicate. You know, I know some denominations believe in infant dedication. And that's part of what this verse talks about. The way he should go. Well, what is the way that a child should go?
Way of the Lord.
Right, exactly. It'd be God's way. The other thing that fascinates me about this is that it's a recognition that every child is different. And if you've had kids, you look at it. I mean, our two. You know, we've got one that's one way, one that's different. You know, you look and you go, could they be coming from the same gene pool? And each child is different, and it's up to parents to recognize that God made each one of us different. Right? And so it's up to us to pay attention and to study the child and see how the child was put together and help raise him in the way that the Lord made him. And we'll get into a little more of that later. That's something, I guess I should say. Well, let's see. Yeah, let's do it here. I'm a little off script here. Kind of a different kind of work. The temptation here today, right, we're talking about parenting. I see people that are grandparents, right, you know, empty nesters. I see some that are single, right, some, you know, that aren't married. And don't go to sleep, okay? The reason is that it doesn't take, you know, a village to raise a child, but we're all part of the same body of God. And so You know, yeah, you know, my kids, you know, live 1,500 miles away. You know, we get to see them once or twice a year on the holidays. But I still have a role to play. You know, my role is to be supportive, you know, to the fathers and mothers, to be encouragement to them, to tell them things that we did right, things that we did wrong, things that we could have done better, ways that maybe we weren't following what the Lord had for us and got off on our own. The single people, you know, you may not have kids yet, but you can be encouraged. I think we all know single parents in this world. It's an unfortunate fact. It's the way it is. And that being a single parent is an awful task in this world. And that they need our help, our support, our encouragement. And quite often they need us to help bring them closer to the Lord. Younger people, you need to pay attention too. There's some specific things for teenagers that we're going to get into this morning. Okay, let's see. Why is parenting important? Feedback. Why is it important?
Otherwise, you're a flubbing fish dying.
Hadn't thought of that one, Adam, but okay.
If you're led astray, there ain't no one helping you out. You okay. will be a dead fish.
Okay,
just flopping around.
So if a child isn't parented properly, they're like fish out of water.
Pretty much.
Okay. What else? Yeah.
Well, we're born running away from God. So when you're about as close to perfect until you start running away from the Lord. So a parent needs to let their children know that. They need to let them know that everything in life is about repenting and turning towards the Lord and running toward Him, not away from Him. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple thing, but I have to say, adults need to be reminded of that. We get stuck in what we want. And life is not about that. Life is about running towards God.
Constant. We all need that constant direction, especially
when we're young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our God-given
responsibility and privilege.
You got to talk loud.
Yeah, you
got to
speak up, please.
I think it's the most important job that we have that the Lord gives us.
Did everybody hear? Anybody hear that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shirley, you got to yell, or I'm going to have to repeat it. I have to repeat it. see if I can do it properly, and that it's our God-given responsibility and privilege to do it. Yeah. Then you need a loud voice, Carrie. Come on.
No, I've heard parents say, "Well, I will let my child decide on that," and the child is probably 5 years old. The child has nothing to draw on. It hasn't lived long enough to see different ways of handling things. They need parent input, even if they don't want it.
Yeah, interestingly enough, in fact, you're 4 points ahead of us.
Oh.
No, that's cool, Carrie. That's cool, thank you. If I know a lot of persons are like, oh, you know, I don't want to force feed Christianity to my kids. Right? Well, if you believe, right, that the Bible is right, you owe it to your kids mm-hmm. to tell them that. I mean, you know, I tell my kids, don't put your hands on a hot stove, don't stick it in the wall socket, because I know what's going to happen if they do. And that, you know, I mean, I think truthfully, if that's your answer, that I'm going to let my kids grow up and decide for themselves, you really need to test your, you need to check your own faith. Great.
I was going to say, to be parenting is a giving kids a good dose of love as well as discipline. Mm-hmm. And under discipline, there would be right and wrong. But they should all, I'd say, emanate from basically the commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Tom?
Yeah, that word other than dedication also has the verb form in the sense of starting. It's a narrowing, setting aside. Also, it's a hedging in. And so as a parent, training is to get them started in the right direction. Away from evil and towards God's way. Mm-hmm. And so we're hedging them in with truth. Now, what they do with it, you know, it could be like briars, and if you want to get to the edge, you're going to get cut. So we're trying to narrow him in the path of righteousness.
Yeah, there's...
I don't know if... I'm sorry, but you narrow somebody into a... it almost sounds like you're cornering them. And I'm sorry, if you like corner a caged animal, you're going to get bit. I'm sorry, I came from a childhood where my dad forced this Christianity on me in a very, very bad way. And let me tell you something, it took 33 years of going through some seriously hard stuff before I was even close to wanting to know who God was.
Yeah, no, Adam.
Sorry.
Adam, that's helpful. That's helpful because it's true. Mm-hmm. Let's relate it a little further on.
Okay, sorry.
No, don't be. A couple of other, I've titled here just basic principles. One is that good parenting doesn't guarantee how our kids are going to turn out. You know, we're called obedience, right? And in the perfect example, you know, God was the perfect father, and yet Adam and Eve were prodigals, right? They went off the reservation, right? We're called obedience. We're not guaranteed, and we're also, it's tempting to live our lives through our kids, and that's not right either. You know, we shouldn't say, you know, we're not responsible for their failures, and we're not, you know, we shouldn't take credit for their successes either. And that brings so much with it, what God put in to begin with. And, you know, our responsibility ends with obedience to the Lord. That's the, and it's said here.
I think it'd be good for children to see us fail.
Mm-hmm. Did you read what I prepared?
Nope. If we're so busy trying to be perfect and not allow our children to see who we truly are inside, then not only will your children think of you, that you aren't even... They don't even know who you are, truly. They won't know who you are until it's too late. And I'm just, yeah.
And how will they know how to respond during
those
times?
Yeah, we're gonna get into that here.
I think that kind of goes back to the path that I think Tom was talking about. You know, I think it's our responsibility to place a light on that path, not force them into it, but to shine a light on it. Because if we're not shining that light, then they're just walking around in darkness, unable to see it. But if we, you know, cast the light on the right path, then they can at least see it.
Put a light on us as well.
That's true.
Okay. We'll get there. Okay.
Go ahead.
This should be participative. Ephesians 6. The other things raising a child fantasy. It's the last chapter of Ephesians. Who wants to read verses 1 through 4 for us? Ephesians 6. Chris? As soon as you quit hearing the rustling of paper.
You're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to be quiet.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And he fathered for us.
Yeah, that's it.
You can keep going all you want, but
provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think, you know, Jesus always talked about being a good shepherd. A good shepherd doesn't have a whip. You know, the guy out in the, you know, on the horseback, he's got the whip because he's driving cattle, and cattle have a different nature. Mm-hmm. The children are more like sheep. Mm-hmm. They like to be coddled and, mm-hmm. you know, guided, but not forced into anything. They won't even drink it. The water is rippling in the lake or the river. So, I mean, you have an obligation to lead them, not with a whip, but you lead them with your own personality and your love.
Okay, we'll get to that here shortly.
You're holding us in suspense.
Yeah, well, hey, good. It's working then. Thank you. There's another translation. This happens to be a translation by a Messianic Jew in that, but I think it does a great job on this passage, right? Children, what you should do in union with the Lord is obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment that embodies a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Fathers, don't irritate your children and make them resentful. Instead, raise them with the Lord's kind of discipline and guidance. So let's, this is really what we study today. Okay, verse 1. Paul talks to the children. In the prior verse, the prior chapter, in 5, he was talking to husbands and wives. Right, that's the passage that we'll cover today. That's a whole other subject. What do you think obey means in this passage?
Do what's asked of you.
I'm sorry?
I say do what it's okay. asked of you, yeah. as long as it's not life-threatening.
Sure. In the Lord.
Yes, oh, very much so. Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. You can't study this verse without saying that. Obey in Greek means hearing attentively, conform to a command.
Conformed.
Don't basically don't you know for you younger people, and this includes teenagers. Don't take what your parents say to you as a suggestion. It's not.
Amen.
It's an order. I see the older heads shaking. And what Shirley said is exactly right. It's in the Lord. And that's a double-edged sword. Right? The kids are not under duty to obey ungodly instructions. You know, if I tell my kid, this is a stupid example, but if I were to tell my kid to rob a 7-Eleven, he's not under any godly command to follow that order. But it puts a responsibility, you know, before we go past it, kids, if younger people, if you say to your parents that that's an ungodly command, better be able to defend it in the Word. Mm-hmm. You know, that saying, you know, if a parent says, well, you're not going to an event, or you're not going to school dressed that way, or you're not going to get to listen to this music, or go to that movie, unless you can back it up, don't tell them that it's an ungodly command. That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You do whatever you want. I'm sorry. On the parents' side, it means we need to be real careful. Mm-hmm. Because when we ask them to obey us, we need to add, we're telling them, we're trying to speak in a godly manner, from a godly point of view. And so we need to check ourselves, too. When we say, until you can't go to this event, you know, are we speaking just because, well, it's inconvenient to us, or because we didn't get to go when we were 17? Then we need to keep that very much in mind.
Gary?
Yeah.
I think it goes way, way, way beyond speaking. I think we need to pay attention to our actions, mm-hmm. because that's what our kids pay attention to. When we do one thing and say another, there's a word in the Bible that's called hypocrite, and that's exactly what we are. So we need to understand that obedience is not
just speaking. Obedience is action. And when we allow our kids to catch us doing something good, that's when we're going to have the maximum impact. And when we're going to have the least impact is when we say one thing and do something else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Another guy who read with my notes on. Okay, verse 2 and 3. Honor in Greek is show true reverence and respect. And it doesn't mean just rolling your eyes and doing lip service, because that's what it takes to keep from getting in trouble with mom and dad.
Can I add something?
You sure can.
Well, I'm not going to add to it, but this is honoring your parents. It doesn't say if your parents are good, you honor them. No
yes.
matter what.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you go along with what they're doing, but you honor your parents forever. And that's no matter what they are.
You know, and yeah. That's good. I hadn't planned on this. But one of the songs in worship this morning, and it touched me. I mean, I happen to be blessed. I had pretty good parents in earthly terms. Okay? But I know a lot of people didn't. I know a lot of people had parents that were physically abusive, emotionally abusive, divorced, left lives, left people and children, put children in just atrocious situations where they should not have been. And it is really hard to honor a parent like that. And yet, as I think Tom pointed out, it's so true that, we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And frankly, I think, I don't know if I could point a particular verse to this, but I think the enemy is after fathers. Mm-hmm. Parents generally, but fathers specifically. And that, because, I know of people where they have trouble relating to a perfect Heavenly Father because their earthly father was not that. And yet, what does it tell us? That we're supposed to come to the Lord as children. So we know. We're supposed to come to Him knowing that He's the perfect Heavenly Father. And so you're looking at, okay, well, how do we honor? How do you honor an abusive father? Or, Adam was saying he had a father that, tried to shove faith down his throat. How do you honor, a father like that? Well, I think it's a little bit what Mark was saying, in that we treat them as the Lord would treat them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how would the Lord treat them? The Lord would want them to repent, obviously. But the Lord would treat them with forgiveness, with grace. And that. Now, that doesn't mean that, that we forgive and forget. I'm sorry, that's a lie. You don't forget. But you don't have to let it continue to ruin your life. You don't have to let it run your life. It's the kind of thing where, you can forgive them what they did. And that you can turn them over to the Lord and let the Lord deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. It's not our job, no matter how bad a parent was, it's not our job in that to reform them. It's not our job to bring them to justice. It's not our job to repay them. Judgment belongs to the Lord. Our job is to pray for them, and that's how we honor them. We turn them back over to the Lord.
I guess there's a saying, and I'm not going to quote it right, but when you become an adult, you are responsible for the way your life turns out.
Mm-hmm.
You have that option. If you came from a lousy, say, father, you choose when you have kids in the way that you will raise them.
Mm-hmm.
We had a thing
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
There are good things and there are bad things that parents would do. And when we became parents, we made decisions that we were going to find the good things and implement those and find the bad things and not do those. And we have to be very careful to when our children become parents, to allow them to do the same thing. Because they see things in us that are good, and they see things in us that aren't so good. And they have to, that's when we have to trust that we did everything we could do to bring them up in the way of the Lord and allow them to bring their children up in the way of the Lord and still be an example for them to follow.
Mm-hmm. And then the absolute truth.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I was going to say pretty much what Mark was saying, and that is you can look back and see the things you didn't like, you know, growing up as a kid, and try to temper that with, like, hey, I don't want to make that mistake with my kids. But I remember, I mean, I grew up in an alcoholic family. I swore as a kid, and I'm not going to do that, but, you know, that's something that got a hold of me anyway, but I did straighten out. And, that was something basically I think I could really have control over. You want to watch?
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, that was me.
Well, it's absolutely true. If, and I've seen it with, you know, men for years now. You know, when the guard's down and they actually open up, most of us are pretty close. You know, we'll either vow to never be like that parent, you know, or, you know, sometimes we'll imitate a parent. But yeah, very much it's a black or white situation. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that we did, it was my mother and his father were the not so much good. But when one of us starts acting like our parent, mm-hmm. the other one will say, okay, Bob, or okay, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I've heard
amazingly,
you.
Amazingly, it shuts you up very quickly.
it brings all of that stuff back. It's like, oh, man, yeah. Am I really acting that way?
What, and then we need to... What I would suggest if anybody, you know, has had a particular hard time and still dealing with it, and that you know, grab me afterwards, you know, wait till Darren gets back, talk to him, and that because carrying it can destroy life. Okay, now back to the kids for a minute. I want to do one other thing. This is for the teens in our audience, okay? And I know you're all smarter than your parents. They don't understand. I get that, okay? And but I want you to consider one example, and we're not going to look it up here, but take a note, Luke 2:51. Okay? This is the passage where Jesus is in the temple. Okay? Now, Jesus, being the Son of God, God in fleshly terms, right? You know, his parents go, they lose him. In Jerusalem, they find him in the temple, basically teaching the rabbis. When his parents find him, Jesus is obedient to his parents. So, if the Son of God can be obedient to his parents, you guys probably can be obedient to yours, even if you do know more than your parents do. Just saying. Okay. Let's get into verse 4. And we kind of talked a little bit about this, right? Provoke. Do not provoke your kid, right? You know, I took down I listened to a number of pastors, right? And they said, well, you know, how do you provoke your kids, right? You can provoke your kids by teasing them, right? You can provoke your kids by choosing favorites. You know? And probably somebody here that, you know, had a parent that, well, you know, they had a big brother or big sister who was the football star or the prom queen or whatever, and I got focus on the back end in that because it was always, you know, Billy that was the good child, not me. Disciplining and anger. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that a little bit. You know, we're supposed to discipline our children. But if discipline and anger, you know, well, what do we teach our kids, right? You know, we're teaching our kids that, one, it's appropriate to respond to people in anger, right? We're supposed to play out our anger, right? And that's what they're going to grow up imitating. They're going to likely to do the same thing with their kids. They're likely to do the same thing with other authority figures. I think somebody mentioned here another way is saying one thing but doing another. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to be good Christian parents, you know, what do they say? Kids, it's caught, not taught.
Right.
That, you know, I probably wasn't real good at this. Bad example, but, you know, driving and cursing the clown who's doing 20 miles below the speed limit blocking traffic is not a good witness to your kids. Especially if you're on the way to church. You know, we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we demonstrate to our kids. I mean, one example that I'll always remember, I was going to the drag strip, and tickets were a little bit expensive. It was a $30 afternoon, and I thought that was a bit much. Guy in front of me, you know, had I looked like his son with him. Right? And he said, well, you know, if they ask, tell them you're 12. It's 12-year-olds for $15. All right? And then, now, I'm guessing that the son was probably 13 or 14. And so to save $15, he taught his child to lie.
Yeah.
That's what he taught his child. Pretty expensive lesson, if you ask me. Especially considering God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. But if we steal from work, if we lie, you know, oh, don't tell mom about this. Well, that's what we teach our kids. You know, they watch. You know, how should we teach our kids? You know, in our family, I was bad. You know, about a daily devotional kind of thing. You know, we didn't do that. You know, it seemed like we were always busy, I know the fathers that are good at this, typically they don't get a whole lot of support. Like, oh, I don't want to do this. And so I was bad at that. But, you know, there's a passage, and we probably won't have time to get into it today, but, you know, it talks about, you know, training your children when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're driving them to school. You know, somebody mentioned here, show them what you're learning. What is God doing in your life? What did God show you today? You know, what did He tell, correct you on how to deal with your boss at work? You know, or the person in the cubicle next to you that you can't stand. What is the Lord dealing with you in your life? You know, those kind of lessons. Kids see that and they go, "Wow, okay, it is real to Him. You know, this is His life. This isn't just some stuff, you know, that He's trying to feed me." And that He does run His life this way. And the same thing for moms too. And I mean, you know, they watch. They watch what we do. Yeah. Now, nurture. Nurture isn't... Oh, one other thing about provoking. I noticed that it doesn't tell children not to provoke their parents. And I suspect it's part of their job description.
Probably impossible.
Yeah, it could be impossible. Yeah, it's just there.
It just sounded bored.
Okay, nurture. Yeah, nurture in Greek is training or discipline. And somebody said it here earlier. All kids are fallen. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is watch your 2-year-old try to steal a toy from another 2-year-old. And that, you know, one of the first words they learn is mine. Mm-hmm. Right. Are they self-willed? The second word they learn is no. Right. I mean, it's just, you know, we were with my niece and nephew and their little rugrats yesterday, and that's what they know. So all kids are falling. They do need training, and it's our job to do it. If we leave them grow up on their own, and that
And I guess the phrase juvenile delinquent is obsolete today. Let's just say they're going to be in trouble with life.
Well, they're blank slates when they're born. So you make the determination how that child is going to start out.
I actually think it's worse than a blank. I think it's a blank slate that you've got to erase some stuff on. I would go a step further.
It's an etch a sketch.
There you go. You got to shake. Okay. Next is the topic we've got to talk about, physical discipline, spanking. I can tell you. Well, here's. Let me just read a couple of passages. Okay. Hebrews 12:6. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It's not children, that's adults as well. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol, hell. Children, okay, so you a lot of, I know that's not popular in the world today, and truthfully, if you go to spank your child in Walmart, you're probably going to have somebody telling you, well, how dare you do that, if you don't have to deal with the authorities. But there's a correct way to do it. There's a right and a wrong way to spank your child, okay, and that. The right way, a child knows when they've done wrong, okay? A child is bent towards evil, as we all are. And a child has a conscience. They know when they've done wrong, and they know that wrong should have a price. And we're born with that. We know that. And when you spank a child properly, they recognize the price has been paid. Mm-hmm. And then you wrap your arms around them and you hug them and you show grace to them. Right? Because isn't that, how the Lord handles us? Lord, I messed up here. I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to do that again. I recognize that, it's going to cost me job, or I have to go back and apologize to somebody, whatever. But once it's done, then the grace comes. Now the wrong way is to do it in anger. Mm-hmm. The wrong way is to do it in anger. And I can tell you pretty much how you can tell whether you're doing it right or wrong, I think. Is it about me, mm-hmm. or is it about the child? If it's about the child, I'm going to go about it properly. If it's about me, because I want to watch my football game and I really don't want them interrupting anymore. I told you 3 times to leave me. It's fourth quarter. I don't need this. If it's about me, I'm going to do it wrong. And kids, most kids, I think our kids when they were small, I think they got spanked once or twice gently, but it was enough so that they knew that we were the parents. We had the final word. We had the final say. The Bible doesn't call for child abuse. But it does call for us to rebuke our children when they're doing wrong. Because if we don't do it, it's going to get worse. One thing I've always believed, and I really believe this is true, can't just throw a hanging scripture on it, but is that it's easier to do it when they're 2 than when they're 4. It's easier to do it when they're 4 than when they're 14. Yeah. By the time they're 24, you can visit them in the port with glass between you and hope with a telephone. That's harsh. That's harsh. Now, that doesn't mean that if you rebuke them when they're 2, that they'll get kids go their own way. We talked about that a little earlier in that. But talk on it. We do owe them. I think we do owe them that.
They don't have glass anymore.
They don't have glass anymore? Good.
No, you're on a video.
On a video now? Okay. Good. Yeah. Admonition. Admonition in Greek means putting in the mind.
You know, what should we teach our kids? Well, we need to teach them about temptation. We need to teach them about the nature of temptation. You know, what it's like to be tempted. How does the enemy come at us? And that we need to teach them about the responses. That how we can respond to temptation. We need to teach them about the motives for those responses. And that the difference between a godly and a sinful response and what it does. And we do that a lot by how we live our lives. Talking through the stuff we go through. We need to teach them that actions have consequences. You know, that you know, if you choose to get drunk, well, you can expect to have a hangover. You might expect something worse. You know, you hang out with a bad crowd, sometimes bad things happen. We need to teach them that God hates sin because it hurts his children. We need to teach them that you are your brother's keeper. You do unto others. You know, that God gave us all of the commandments for a reason. You know, this wasn't, you know, you didn't kind of throw darts and decide what tend to put on the, you know, it's like I ran out of room, I had four more, right? You know, God knew what he was doing when he put the Ten Commandments together. And, you know, it's communication with our kids is a dialogue, not a monologue. You know, if we're figuring out the way a child should go, part of that is hearing them. You know, I mean, I know it's tempting to have your kid, you know, do what you did. You know, it's you know, whether you're a teacher or a high school football star, you know, or the prom queen or whatever, you know, to have your child do what you did, that's, you know, wow, that's a great feeling. And that, but maybe they're cut out for something different. You know, you may have been a great football player, and your kid might be better at playing the violin. I don't think they have the violin in the marching band, and that's you know, doesn't look like it fits. But you know, if that's the way God made this child, you know, fighting with God over how a kid should grow is usually a losing battle. We've covered so much so far. One thing that I think every parent, grandparent, and you know, even those of us who don't have children right in our lives, we can pray for them, is that we should pray for our kids every day. Mm-hmm. I still do. The ours are 28 and 25. They, you know, they, one lives in Michigan, the other in New York. Especially the one in New York, I pray for her. You know, but we should be praying for our kids every day. That we're foolish if we don't. We've got a direct pipeline, you know, with the God who can protect them. I think we should pray a blessing over our children, too. And that there's something to be said if we have an expectation for our kids, that they're likely to live up to that expectation or down to that expectation. I hate it when I come across men who, you know, had parents that told them when they were 6, you'll never amount to anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just trash. You're never going to amount to anything. That wounds a child so badly. And it grieves my heart to hear things like that. But the flip side of that, you know, to affirm to a child that they're a child of God, God created them, they're fearfully and wonderfully made, God knew them before they were even born, while they were still, you know, still hadn't even seen them taking their first breath yet, to train that into a child. You know, what a blessing. You know, we should be praying that. We should be speaking that out when these kids hear this all the time. And, you know, something else goes back to what we said a little bit ago. You know, you can't lead the kids to the Lord unless you've been with him yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a great relationship with the Lord, then you have something that you can pass on. And that if it's, you know, if your relationship is pretty lukewarm, you really, all you got is a glass of lukewarm water to give the kids. And you don't really have much that you can pass on. A couple of thoughts that I don't necessarily hang on to any one thing or another, but you know, our job isn't to raise a friend. I know there's a temptation today, you know, especially for parents who are, you know, or single parents. You know, that's so hard, you know, because you're trying to be both mom and dad, no matter which side of the, you know, you start at. And that, to want to raise the kid to be a friend, because you know, you feel like you need somebody to share with, because that person, you know, isn't there in your life. And that, but you know, our job isn't to raise friends. It truly isn't. And our job is to raise kids as children of God, and that so that they can live godly lives. You know, something else that is maybe the underlying of all of this is that in this world that we live in, where, you know, I mean, everybody has whatever trash you want, a cell phone in their pocket, right? Where you got kids involved with drugs and stuff at school, bad examples, all this stuff. Truthfully, try to raise a kid well on your own. I don't think you stand a chance in this world. That's just my opinion, but I think the only hope you have is doing it with the Lord and in His power. And that, you know, going to Him saying, okay, you know, child, you know, is doing good or doing bad. Lord, what do I do? You know, how do I reward them? How do I punish them? What is appropriate? You know, what guidance should I give them? What's important in their life today? You know, what do they need right now? You know, I don't think, I don't know. You know, I always think highly of myself. Boy, when I go off without the Lord's guidance, you know, it doesn't always turn out well. And I know that from experience. I mean, there was a time when, you know, especially our son, when he was in late teenagers, he hated me. He despised me. Mm-hmm. The Lord redeemed that, you know, just in the last few years. And that, but, you know, so, you know, I speak not from having done all this stuff right. Not the case. But you know, maybe I can share some of the things that didn't go so well. I think it's one final thought. It's that we're all children of God, even adults. And, you know, Lord still treats me as a child in a lot of ways. You know, they say that human beings use 10% of our brains. Right? And so if you figure if we only use 10% of our brains and God was smart enough to create 100% of our brains, you know, I'm probably still in kindergarten, I don't know, daycare. You know, I'm 63, so you know, you go figure it out. You know, just it strikes me that you know, we're all still just children, you know, even big adults. And that's cool because we truly do have a Heavenly Father. And that, for Tom and Jen are going to close this in a song, different, but let me close this in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for being the perfect Father, Lord. We thank you that you love us, Lord. We thank you that you're with us when we do good and bad things, Lord. That when we do bad, that you're willing to correct us, but you're also willing to forgive us, Lord, and bring us back to you as long as we're willing to repent of our sin. Father, we thank you for the children, the young people that you brought into our lives, Lord. And ask that you help us to raise them in a godly manner, to bring them up to be the children of God that you would have them to be. Because I believe with all my heart that knowing you is the most freeing, most fulfilling life that we can live. And so giving that to our children is giving them the biggest blessing that they can have. They may ask for a bike at Christmas or a Nintendo, but giving them you is the best gift that we could ever give our children. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for for putting them in our lives. But what I appeared to earlier, we talked about how some of us didn't have particularly good parents when we were growing up. And so, Lord, I ask that if anyone here has had a particularly hard upbringing, Lord, or maybe wasn't particularly hard, it just seemed hard at times, Father, that you might bring forgiveness and resolution to those things, Lord. Because we don't want to carry unforgiveness in our hearts. That's hurtful to us, Lord. And it's not honoring you. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Yeah, scripture verse came that Gary was sharing. To help us the importance of a godly upbringing. And in Paul was writing to a young man at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let me just read this, hopefully to encourage those parents to train their child in the way they should go. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 13, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must, Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing that from whom you learned them." Well, his father was a Greek. He had a grandmother and he had a mother that was Jewish, had the scripture. And that the Old Testament, not the New Testament, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then he writes, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so we have a role as parents that are now walking with Jesus. And God can make all things through. In Romans it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Mm-hmm. And so we have to take the whole counsel of God, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And one of the blessings I have, my dad beat me. I had 6 stepdads. Didn't know what it is to be a family. But at the end of my dad's life, I wound up leading him to the Lord and have 2 years of making up for over 50. God could heal the land. And I was instrumental because one of the things I had to forgive, I had to get rid of bitterness and anger. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had that blessing. And who knows? But God knew it. So our purpose here as parents, as his children, is to glorify. So I want us to go away. Our purpose is to bring glory to him as children, as parents, as grandparents, whatever it may be. As single, you're still his child. Amen? Why don't we stand up?
Jesus, we love you.
leave this place, our desire at work, at home, in our schools, when we're on vacation, as we go, as we eat and drink, sit down, going forth, wherever we may be, as Gary says, we are to instruct. That means that we are living, that we are walking. So when our children see us, they want to emulate righteousness. Jesus said, I did all things that pleased the Father. He was in complete obedience. And so, Lord, help us through your Spirit to be able to follow Jesus. Because if we say we love him, then we need to obey him in everything. So, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the new family. I had a dysfunctional one of this world. But, Father, in Christ, you make everything beautiful. God bless you guys.
My sins have buried forevermore.
There's a peace in my heart. I'm finally free. A whole new
George. Hey, Victor, why don't you watch Rebecca?